Child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier.
Thank you for listening to the I Love South Orange County podcast. We're going to have a special series, Homeless in California. It is a multi-part series that will deal with just about every aspect of the homelessness situation, from the definition, the numbers, the characteristics, laws, politics, and everyday life. We will present this material in a number of ways. Interviews with homeless people, professionals who work in the field, advocates, honest politicians, if we can find them, and attorneys. For those of you who enjoy visual communication, we've created a Facebook page that will parallel our podcast. This channel will be particularly useful when we present facts and figures. You can also go to our Facebook page and log in to Homeless in California. Our first guest, in fact, he will be, he's really the godfather of this, the mastermind, and will be a continuing presence throughout this series, is Dr. Jim Gardner, who's also the former mayor of Lake Forest. Dr. Gardner, thank you for your analysis and thank you for being here.
Okay, thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
All right. First question people ask on podcasts, you know, people listen to podcasts and they're like, who are these people? Who the heck are they? And why should I be listening to them? Well, you know, for me, Dr. Gardner's a hero for me for what the miracle he did in Lake Forest against all odds. Outfunded 10-1, he figured out a way to get the council majority. But Dr. Gardner, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, as you said, I'm a former mayor in Lake Forest. My term ended last year, and I was on the council for 4 years. Prior to turning to the dark side, as it were, I was a clinical psychologist, got my doctorate at Ohio State University, and I was a practicing clinical psychologist. I was a researcher, and for about 10 years, I worked at universities all over the world. I was a professor and department head. I was director of community psychology, and I was an adjunct professor in medical schools. So I have a academic background as a psychologist, understanding the issues that confront people and their quality of lives. And then as the mayor in Lake Forest and on the city council in these past few years, obviously the issue of homelessness occurred on many occasions. I was the mayor of Lake Forest, which is a city of about 85 to 90,000 people, midway between Los Angeles and San Diego.
It's a very affluent, I would say WASPy area, but it's affected a lot by the homeless situations, you know, because the weather's so nice here.
Well, the weather in all in California is very nice. It's particularly nice here in Southern California in Lake
right.
Forest. Lake Forest is affluent on the one hand, and it certainly has its WASPy elements to it. But that's true of all of Southern California.
Especially South Orange County, exactly.
That's true there. Amongst the South Orange County cities, in fact, Lake Forest is probably the least WASPy-ish.
Right.
We have the largest Hispanic population in South Orange County. We have, excluding Irvine, the largest Asian population.
Right.
We have the lowest percentage of white people in Lake Forest in South Orange County. So it is affluent, but it is, at least in South Orange County, a pretty heterogeneous group. But being affluent, there's a direct correlation between being affluent and homelessness. And so being affluent, we weren't confronted with the kinds of problems that places like Los Angeles and San Francisco are confronted with. On the other hand, the people in Lake Forest are also probably a little less tolerant than the larger city people are.
Right.
So it was a real problem to us. Historically, we had about 30 to 40 homeless people per year here in the city for the last 10 years. And of those group, about a third of them were dedicated lifestyle homeless people, people who had dropped out.
Right.
In the old days, you would have called them hobos or tramps. Right. Or that. About a third of them were people just kind of like gypsies, wandering through Lake Forest on their way somewhere else.
Right.
And then about another third of them were people who were disabled either by from drugs or mental illness or some other kind of problem, just unable to deal with the situation and ended up being homeless. We had a pretty good record. We were the first city in Orange County, maybe even in California, to have a homeless liaison officer who's a dedicated police officer who was out there helping homeless people and getting them, finding them a
right.
place to live,
a right, right.
place to work, getting them supplies. And that worked really well. We would normally get about a dozen of those 30 to 40 people every year. About a dozen of them would move out of homelessness and get into some kind of a sheltered environment and ultimately get a job. So we had a pretty good track record, all things considered. A few years ago, because the Board of Supervisors here in Orange County pretty much ignored the problem, they had a crisis at the Santa Ana Riverbed. Thousands of people, homeless people, gathered there. And then in one fell swoop, the police came in and disrupted them and sent them everywhere.
Got it.
And that included Lake Forest. So our numbers pretty much doubled in last year, and it became more of a problem to the city. That happened when I was the mayor, and we set up a multidisciplinary committee to deal with the issue.
Right, but in that situation, as I remember it, and kind of to describe to the folks that are around the country, and even folks here in South Orange County who might not understand the cultural difference, in Santa Ana is more of an LA vibe versus South Orange County, which is kind of laid back, and then you have beach cities. So there kind of came a clash of cultures that you were at the center of it, right? And you can tell me if I'm wrong, right? Because the way I saw it was, you had Santa Ana, they had the problem with the riverbed, very liberal up there, very conservative in South Orange County. They dispersed these people because it got so crazy, where homeless people were urinating, where regular working people were going to work and homeless people were urinating in front of them before they got to work. Different types of scenarios where cultures clashed. It came to a head, and then you as mayor of Lake Forest, and we can put a recording later on in the podcast of John and Ken, KFI, because what happened was that you took your responsibility as mayor, representative, democracy seriously, and you went and represented the people at some meeting, right, where they were going to dump homeless people in Lake Forest, and that's the last thing, Silverado Canyon, right?
Yeah, it's, what happened was, and you're right, just to go back a little bit.
Yeah.
There is a clash of cultures. South Orange County is a very different place from Central or North Orange County. And so when this Santa Ana Riverbed started spilling over into South Orange County, and the citizens in South Orange County began to take the issue more seriously, the mayors from the South Orange County area, including Irvine, which is some cases not South Orange County, in some cases it is South Orange County, the Board of Supervisors, for some reason, lumped Irvine in with South Orange County.
Right.
Anyway, the mayors got together, and they decided the best thing we could do was to go ahead and gather up all the homeless in South Orange County, which were probably about 200 to 300 people, and put them in a large a warehouse in the middle of the canyons. And they were going to put it actually right next to a school, where a school for children was, and where there were no services and absolutely nothing. And so we had this meeting of all the mayors, and they said, well, let's do that. And I said, well, number one, that's not a good solution for integrating people into the community. That's a failed model.
Right.
That's failed many times before in other settings. And so why would we adopt a failed model? And
right.
How would we integrate these people? How would we provide them services?
Right.
And the point of the mayors was, well, we'd get them out of our cities and get we'd solve the situation off our back. It was really more of a situation of how can we make it nice rather than how can we solve the problem. So,
but an interesting aspect that I'm looking at, and here on the I Love South Orange County podcast, you can listen to all the podcasts. We try to look at everything from every angle and kind of peel the layers. So a commonality that I saw was the same thing with you becoming mayor. It's almost like the comic books where you have the forces of evil versus the forces of justice. And you have like the evil empire that are run by evil developers, right? They kind of funded campaigns against you where you were always outgunned, but you ended up winning. The same thing happened in this situation. Because I remember seeing a video from evil empire member, current Board of Supervisors, which is the center of it, Don Wagner. And Don Wagner is very much the introvert, but he's central casting for an evil part of these people, right? You see a picture of his family and all the kids and the wife looks scared and this guy's talking. Very introverted. So for the fact for him to do a YouTube video and to go out there, very calculated, right? So he does a YouTube video saying that for all these reasons that there should be a homeless shelter in Silverado Canyon in Lake Forest, which is a library where all the homeless people go, and it's almost a path for a fire, right? In that part, Santiago Canyon, right? Santiago Canyon. In Santiago Canyon Road, there's always accidents there. And they wanted to put a homeless shelter in there. And then you came, right? You were thinking on your feet, and you came and you showed leadership. You went to this meeting, and you were able to influence all the mayors, right? To what was in the best interest of Lake Forest residents.
Well, you got to couple of things wrong there. The Santiago Canyon is not in Lake Forest.
Okay.
So it's in the middle of nowhere.
Got it.
But
it's next to Lake Forest, right? Lake Forest residents were concerned about it being there.
Well, Lake Forest residents were concerned that the closest city, because there was nothing in the canyon.
Right.
The homeless people, when they wanted to do anything, were going to somehow have to go into civilization.
Right.
And the closest city was Mission Viejo.
Got it.
But almost as close to them was Lake Forest.
Got it.
So we were close by, and people in Lake Forest and Mission Viejo were concerned that this would, you know, in essence, all these hundreds of people would come into the city in large groups. My concern was more that there were no services there. There were no ability for them to integrate and lead a normal life. That living 300 or 400 people in a building in the middle of a canyon, it was just no way. Those people would be there forever. No
right, and there was actually concerns that they would start a fire, because at that point in time, a couple of huge fires were started by homeless people in canyons.
Yeah, in fact, it was a fire risk, and there was a kid's school right next door. Now, the mayors never changed their minds. In fact, the mayors unanimously, with my exception,
right,
promoted it, and they went ahead and got it to the board of supervisors. And in the meantime, me and our Mayor Pro Tem, Leah Basil, we were in touch with people in the canyons, and they were concerned. So at the Board of Supervisors meeting, in which the Board of Supervisors was supposed to approve this recommendation from the mayors, I spoke up, and there were about 80 people from the canyons were there. And we all said, you know, it's a bad model. It's a high risk. It just
what was that meaning that KFI said that, oh, the only one to speak up was Dr. Gardner? And I think you had an interview with him. Because I think that was pivotal. Because in Orange County, being so conservative, and a guy like Wagner being so media conscious, you convinced John and Ken that, you know, they have the biggest radio voice in Southern California, conservative voice, large audience in South Orange County. They said, oh, Dr. Gardner was the only one to speak up and the only one who was logical, they said. The only one who spoke up, and he was the only one that was able to contradict this madness, to use their words.
That was the mayor's meeting.
Got it.
It was the mayor's meeting.
Because I thought that was huge. Because I think that kind of flipped the orchestration plan, or the plan that Wagner had.
Yes, and this was Wagner's plan. This was, he promoted it. He had appeared at a court hearing with Judge Carter, who, there was an active law case at the time.
Right.
And Wagner had appeared there. He was mayor of Irvine at the time. And he promised that he would build a shelter in his city. So, but then he turned around when he went to the meeting of the mayors and promoted the canyon shelter, which meant then he wouldn't have to build a shelter in his city. He had gotten a lot of flack from the people in his city about building the shelter there.
And believe it or not, the Chinese government. I went to an Irvine City Council meeting, and organizers from the Chinese government who have a lot of real estate interest in Irvine were lobbying me, and they gave me a card to say, hey, stop the homeless shelter here, and da-da-da. We're ready to fund this. We got unlimited funds. And Wagner saw that. And Wagner, we're talking about Wagner. He's pretty much a crooked politician with a $1 million war chest. And Wagner orchestrated this plan, and Dr. Gardner was able to beat him with what the situation that we're describing.
You know, the situation is...
Because at Maynard's meeting, you crushed them because you said you're the only one, and then you got publicity from KFI, who has a huge influence and the loudest voice for conservatism in Orange County, and he's a Federalist right-wing guy. So you were able to beat him in his own game at his home court.
Well, I like to think that that reason triumphed.
Right.
It was a bad model. It's a bad model. That.
But you're the only one who had courage to speak up. You know, as crazy as it might seem, you know, it's the old Martin Luther King, if it's not you, then who, right? And you were the only one. I think KFI noticed that. The only guy to stand up for the voice of reason was Dr. Gardner. And he really did the same thing in Lake Forest all the time. The only person that will stand up for the voice of reason ends up being Dr. Gardner.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say I was the only person. And Leah Basil, the mayor pro tem, was very helpful. And there were other
Absolutely.
People involved in that. And, you know, it comes down to expediency.
Right.
And the easiest thing to do is to build a shelter for 400 people and warehouse them there.
Right.
That's an easy thing to do. It's much more difficult to have scattered sites and to talk about services and to talk about quality care and to have two beds here and two beds there. In Lake Forest, as a matter of fact, while this was going on, we had sites for 70 people. There were 70 people living in Lake Forest in scattered sites all over the city. Nobody knew they were there. They were fully integrated into community. We never got any complaints about those people.
Right.
Because they were over here, over there, in that apartment, in that house, and you take those same people and you put them in a single house, and suddenly you create a place where people are worried, where you concentrate.
There are people with problems like schizophrenia, so on and so forth. They're worried and nervous anyways. So then on top of that, you put them in that situation, it's only going to get worse.
Yeah, it's never worked. It's why the large mental hospitals in the United States, well, throughout the world, they didn't work. They not only did they not work, but they often exaggerated the problems in the large criminal prisons.
Right.
You look at the models which have been done in the 19th and 20th century that didn't work, that we're now trying to change. And here in last year, in 2018, the Board of Supervisors were trying to recreate a failed model. And at least in this case, we won. And they changed their mind. And the result has been that the cities have been tasked with developing their own sites and scattered sites, and there is no large 100, 400 bed shelter being built in South Orange County. Unfortunately, they didn't learn their lesson. They are building these large shelters in Central and in North Orange County and throughout California for that matter. All they do is take the problem out of the streets and out of people's sights, but it's not a way to solve the problem. It's simply a way to hide the problem. That will come back to bite everybody.
So in this podcast, in the series of podcasts that we're doing with Dr. Gardner, we're going to define the problem in detail in an academic and in layman's terms. And at the end, and during, we'll come up with solutions. And I think you're going to have the most comprehensive information you're going to have on homelessness in the United States, in any podcast or any media in the world. Now, all politics are local and everything's personal. How has the homeless situation affected you personally throughout your life?
Well, you know, it's funny, when we got when I got involved in the homeless situation here in Lake Forest, and well, in Orange County as a whole, it was seemed like not my problem.
Right.
I didn't think it had touched me. But during last year, when we were involved in setting up the committees and setting up, looking for scattered sites and all the issues, I began thinking about, my own background. And interestingly enough, both of my parents, at some point in their lives, were homeless.
Oh, wow.
And now that hadn't occurred to me only until I started reflecting on the issue. My dad was a victim of the influenza of 1918 that affected like a third of the world. And he was diagnosed with tuberculosis, which he didn't have. He had actually had something called Jakob Creutzfeldt disease, but they didn't diagnose it then. And they put him in a tubercular asylum outside of Boston.
Craziness.
And he was about 10 years old. And he couldn't stand it, so he ran away from home. And the social workers found him and brought him back. And then he ran away again, and they caught him again. And then they threatened the family, if he did this again or if they took him in again, the family would be in jail. And he was from an immigrant family. So the third time
he... What country did he immigrate from?
They came from Austria-Hungary, which was a country in those days.
Right.
So the third time he ran away, he couldn't go home because he didn't want to put his family in danger. So he lived on the streets.
Wow.
And he was homeless for about 7 or 8 years. Just a kid. He ultimately went to New York, ultimately got a job, ultimately his life turned around. But he had that whole period of homelessness. And my mom, very differently, she was in college during the Depression, when her father's mill, father was the foreman of a mill, got closed down. And the father, my grandfather, he wasn't able to get a job, and he turned to alcohol, and eventually they got evicted from their home, and they were homeless.
Wow.
So she and my grandmother and her three sisters had to go from Illinois to Connecticut in order to live with a sister who was on a farm where they didn't need a job. And they lived there for about 6 years, what we now call doubling up.
Right.
And they were homeless as well. So I never thought of myself as, you know, having experienced that. Well, I didn't experience that, but my folks had experienced that. I had experienced it when the New Orleans, when the flood in Katrina, Hurricane Katrina, devastated New Orleans. I went down to New Orleans to help rescue animals.
Right.
And ended up spending time in a homeless shelter during the Katrina.
Right.
Spent about a week there living in the homeless shelter with, now that was an extreme example because it was not only the normal homeless shelter, but now it was probably three times as crowded as normal because everybody, not everybody, but many, many people were homeless. So that was quite an experience of homelessness.
And also Aborigines in Australia, you were telling me?
Oh, yeah. When I was teaching in Australia, we worked with the Aboriginals who were, many of them, the ones who came into the cities, a great proportion of them ended up on alcohol and ended up being homeless. So me and another guy, Dr. Art Vino, on the faculty there, we were training police. We trained at the academy and we worked with senior members of the police in Australia. And one of their main issues was how did they deal with the homeless Aboriginals.
Right.
They didn't have a lot of homeless white people, but the Aboriginals who were, most of whom of the homeless ones were drunk or
right.
alcohol or drug users. So we spent quite a bit of time working with them there. So, you know, looking back, although I would have thought my information about homelessness was mostly academic. In fact, I really had some first-hand interactions with homelessness and the situation.
So it's very exciting to be able to explain to people in detail, from a practical and academic sense, what exactly is going on with the homeless and information that people can use to help their local politicians and kind of understand the world.
Yeah, I think this will be really an education for people.
And we don't want anybody to take our word as gospel. We want people to use food for thought so they can do their own research as well.
Yes, by all means, people can do their own work. I'm going to, in conjunction with these podcasts, at the Facebook page, Homeless in California, we'll put up a lot of the statistics. And quite honestly, no one has ever seen such comprehensive statistics in detail
right.
and analysis about the situation. And the situation is far different from what they've been told either here in Orange County or in California or nationwide. And I'll show facts and figures, which anybody can check to show what the real picture is in homelessness.
Right. And that's one of the tenets of the podcast. We do not have an agenda either way. But what we do want to do is peel the layers off of the situation and kind of look at it from every angle. Because you learn more from people who think different from you than people who think the same. So we're going to provide, you know, the liberal part of it, the conservative part of it, the data analysis part of it, any angle you can think of, and no better person than to do that than Dr. Gardner. Thank you for listening to the I Love South Orange County podcast. And we'll be bringing you out them in a series and look forward to the following episodes here with Dr. Gardner.